name is Barry Allen. I am the fastest man alive.
RandomChatter.com presents a Flash podcast.
You see that red blur?
Dedicated to the discussion of the Flash television series.
A lot to discuss.
Scarlet Velocity.
Run, Barry, run!
Sumptuous day, and welcome to Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast. Thanks for slowing down for a moment. I'm your host, JR.
Hello. And I am Mo Enster. There's so much I think that you could teach me about doing this podcast. Maybe I could shadow you for a little bit. You know, your skills have just been seen to be so much more, I don't know, better than mine in speaking and such. What do you say?
I'll think about it.
I'll
call you. Okay. I'll call you. Let me finish this intro. You're always interrupting. You're taking my stuff. All right. Anyway, you've discovered the number one podcast dedicated to the CW television show, The Flash, with discussion and commentary and holograms on all the various episodes of this, third season of our
third season
TV show. So, all right. Well, you know, Mo, I tell you, this is it's an interesting episode we're going to talk about this week.
What are you going to do?
There was some good stuff coming out of this. I think they're leading up to some better stuff.
Yeah, leading right up to that better stuff. Mm-hmm.
or filling in until the better stuff gets
leading up to but filling in with the
stuff. But you know what I think we should do maybe? You could tell us a little bit about the show.
I'm totally qualified for this.
Yeah, just open that file up.
Okay. Yep, I got it right here. I think this is a little different than how it works in my
studio.
Oh, I see. Okay. Episode 5 of season 3. This one is called Monster, and it originally aired on November 1st, 2016. Written by Zach Stentz. I'm not going to be able to do this voice like this. Written by Zach Stentz and directed by C. Kim Miles. So, while Barry continues to adjust to his new role post-Flashpoint, our heroes are dealing with a variety of other issues. Caitlin, of course, has decided to go on her scientifically minded mother to ask for help with her chilly problems. This proves to be about as painful as you might expect for someone whose family relationship has had family relationship problems for years, especially since her powers seem to be growing stronger and freezing her mild-mannered personality in the process. Cisco is having issues with HR, but he just can't file a complaint with the Director of Human Resources because that is a trust issue with the newest Wells. He may not be quite as scientifically competent as they had been led to believe.
No.
Yeah. You fish out in the multiverse. You think you're getting the guy you expect, and
you order from one of those generic Earths, you know, and it's never the quality that you expect.
I got to tell you, you got to go with the higher Earths. Those teen Earths, they think they know everything, but they're not. You know, they really don't. They really don't. You got to get into the 20s or the 30s, more likely. So anyway, he may not be quite as scientifically competent as they were led to believe. Is it just the rantings of a con man who has ulterior motives? Or is it the evil groundwork of a madman who has ulterior motives? Barry is trying to cope with two issues. The first is a great big loud menace, which is trying to destroy things and throw his power all around. And that's just Julian Albert. Hey there. There's also a large creature terrorizing Central City. Looks like everyone has some monsters that they have to conquer this week on The Flash.
Yeah. And, no, that was good. You know, I was a little suspicious of you there for a minute, but, I figure a 15-second talking to straightened you right out. That was you read that very well. Thank you.
Want to go get a drink?
Yeah, sure. Let's do it.
Hey,
let's
all right. It. See you. Bye, guys.
I wish I could work out my relationship issues that fast. Years it takes people. Years.
It was a lighthearted episode of The Flash, and does not require a lot of cerebral energy this week, I would say.
No, no. I will give him character development. I'll give him that. I thought it pushed some new characters along and some new aspects of old characters along.
Maybe a little too quickly in some cases, but yeah, there was some interesting stuff that was going on with that. I will agree.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know what? I only have one little bit of news, and it's not necessarily about the Flash that you and I talk about often, but I thought it was worth throwing in here because it is Flash news. As most of you probably know, there is a Flash movie coming down in the future, possibly.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's having some issues, much like the other DC movie universe.
What happened now?
Well, they're on their second director. Well, they were on their second director, Rick Famud. Oh, I don't know how this guy's name is.
Famuyiwa.
Famuyiwa. That sounds pretty good. I just realized as I was getting ready to say this that I have only ever looked at it online and I've never actually said it out loud.
Yeah, it's that Rick guy.
Rick. Yeah, you know, Rick. 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 Anyway, he is no longer directing the Flash movie.
Damn it, Barry. You screwed something else up.
Oh, gee. Look at that. That's it, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Flashpoint, man.
This is Flashpoint. Oh, see?
I wish I could say it was Flashpoint, but it's more like, you know, it sounds more like Warner Brothers is unsure about what's going on. It could be because of the merger with AT&T that they decided to change directions. It's just... I don't know. It's disheartening.
And, you know, I don't think we'll ever really know the true extent of all these things that have been happening with the DC movies as they try to re-examine their focus for these things after the disappointing box office results of the Superman movies. But
yeah,
unless they do one of those documentaries like they did for the original Superman movie. Did you ever see that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. No, they weren't going to do that. There's just going to be a series of really vague tweets that come out from the guy one night when he's drunk or something like that.
So. Well, I feel a little sorry for Ezra Miller. I have nothing against the guy. He may make a very good Flash, but they're having some troubles getting it off the ground. And I'm personally hoping, and you know me, I'm a pretty easygoing guy. I'm pretty mm-hmm. easy to please for the most part.
Yeah,
I almost said Man of Steel. I did not dig Man of Steel. I almost dug Batman versus Superman, but
almost, yeah. Wow, that's pretty high praise coming from you, Josh. Well, I will say
what everybody else said.
Yeah, the Wonder Woman trailers look actually slightly fun.
That one. I am actually more excited about that than any DC movie that's come out since Man of Steel. So,
yeah,
but,
I agree.
But anyway, but the Flash, if they do, you know, whatever direction they go now with a new director now, the one thing I'm really hoping is that they change his suit. Oh, I just cannot stand the Flash movie suit.
Yeah, unfortunately, he's going to be – I mean, they're definitely showing that suit that's coming because it's going to be in Justice League, which is going to come before any Flash movie would come.
I know. But maybe by the movie. Don't get me wrong. I don't feel like you have to have something that, John Wesley Shipp had back in 1990 or even anything that – we see on this series, it can be different. It just doesn't look like a Flash costume. I mean, it looks too armory for me, but,
if Bruce Wayne's going to make armor for you or, a costume for you, I mean, you kind of, it's kind of rude just to say, that's horrible. it's Ben Affleck, he's trying.
I don't know that it's rudeness more as intimidation. I think you'd just be scared.
He's like, here's my old Daredevil suit. We tried to fix it up a little bit and this is the best we could do. So here you go.
Is that what he said? I would have said what he said it a little bit more of in a whisper, But
here's my old Daredevil suit.
There you go. That's more Batman-y. All right. So anyway, well, good luck to him. Whatever ends up happening, I will definitely see the movie. Even if I've heard that it's the worst movie ever made, I'll still see it because I'm curious and it's Flash. So I've got to see it and it could be great. I'm not judging it before I see it, but
maybe I should throw my hat in the ring there. You know,
I think you should. You've got enough.
Yeah.
Hey, you've got enough knowledge of Flash and comics and movies that I think you could actually probably do a really decent job.
We're going to bring the top in, the original top.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
With the tight green and yellow stripe.
Suit. Yep, looks like the Sandman in a onesie or something like that.
Excellent, excellent. So, well, all right, let's get into talking about Monster this week. Like I said before, it did seem kind of like a filler episode, but it is moving the characters along a little bit at paces. I don't know. I guess we'll discuss. I did want to remind everybody before we start talking about it that next week, seeing as how Flash is on a Tuesday and we have some important business to take care of in this country next Tuesday.
That's a really, really simplistic way to discuss it, but sure.
Well, I was trying to avoid too much controversy there, but
yeah.
Election Day is next Tuesday. There will be some things on TV about it, I'm guessing. And so it looks there is no new Flash episode next week, so we will return the following week, I believe.
We'll return the following week. And actually, Flash will be on the week of Thanksgiving because
excellent.
It's a Tuesday. Arrow won't be on that week because it's a Wednesday. I guess people, you know, they assume people are traveling and they don't want to show that. But we will get a Flash on the 22nd, I guess.
Ah, the 22nd. I may be in Las Vegas that week, so I will definitely get a Flash that week.
Mmm. Nice.
Because they have TVs there, is what I meant, you know.
Oh, I guess. I thought you meant something else.
Okay. All right, well, I am a monster. Let's talk about this show. Now, again, on the surface, the title would represent the giant monster that is trampling the city, or seemingly trampling the city.
Yeah, yeah. Big, you know, when I heard that they were calling it Monster and I saw the preview with the literal monster in it, I was like, wow, they're getting a little direct here this. But I figured there was probably more to it.
I think there is a little bit more to it. I might have stretched a little on some of these monsters with these characters, but I think that a lot of the characters in this episode were dealing with some monsters or some inner demons, if you will. But
okay,
monster would be a good description. But let's start with the literal one.
Okay,
So Barry's got to figure out a way to stop this. Very Ray Harryhausen-ish monster.
You know what? I thought that too. It was very much. There was one movie that Harryhausen did where the Beast from 20,000 Fathoms, I think, where the creature comes out of the sea and attacks New York.
Yeah,
That reminded me of this monster here.
Also reminded me a little bit of his Kraken from Clash of the Titans. The head maybe, or the, I don't know what it was, but yeah. And I spent this summer, a good portion of this summer looking at, some Ray Harryhausen stuff, some old movies of his and a really, really good documentary. So,
Awesome.
maybe that's why it struck me so much as that. And if you don't know who Ray Harryhausen is, you've got to check it out because he is probably one of the most influential people in movies as far as what we have today, you know, how it's evolved, especially superhero movies and computer animation. So
yeah, pioneer in special effects from the 50s and 60s.
Yeah. So all right, now I was a little disappointed that they didn't think of how Barry could stop this thing more quickly. But I guess it wasn't around. It kind of disappeared really fast before he had much of a time to think about how to stop it. But I don't want to say pulled off the monster, because I actually really liked the effects in that, and I thought that was pretty cool, and even what it turned out to be was pretty cool. But did it strike you as odd that he was so dumbfounded as to what to do?
Yeah, I guess in the fact that the monster just kept disappearing, and you know, I mean, Barry's a really intelligent guy. Sisko's a really intelligent guy. You know, they're trying to test this stuff out with Wells, and the fact that there's this monster that just keeps up and disappearing, you know, there's this cacophony of noise of car alarms and electrical boxes and stuff exploding. And then, whoop, it's just gone. And they're like dumbfounded. And then it's like, okay, well, I guess that's that. You know, it was, you know, and I guess, you know, well, I was waiting for him to attack it early on and realize that he could run right through it. So
yeah, yeah. I mean, and I guess looking at it, he and Sisko kind of made, I think it was Sisko kind of made reference to this too, the fact that, I mean, they haven't ever fought anything like this before. He's done big stuff. You know, he's held
Atom
up.
Smasher.
yeah. And he's held up, you know, ships in midair by running. And, and he's stopped tornadoes. And he's, I mean, he's done big things for sure. But they said, you know, the metahumans that they fought have been human. So, except for Grodd. But I guess I can understand their shock behind that. But it just seems, I mean, especially Sisko is steeped in enough movie lore that you would have thought of something, and he did eventually, right? But he thought of course, that very famous trick from the Avengers. And I guess that was Captain America, wasn't it?
It was the Avengers Strike Back.
Yeah. Oh, God, right. But anyway, so, that, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm too critical of this week's episode. It was not the most exciting one for me, but I there was a lot of really good stuff in it. So I thought it was cool that he had to fight something different than what he has before. And they used it well to – it's like, you know, like those old episodes of ER where whatever is happening that week in the episode connected very strongly to the characters. So
now, do you think the TV show, the inclusion of this monster, do you think that fooled any viewers, or do you think that was pretty obvious that it was a ruse or something, that it wasn't really a monster? Like, at no point did I really believe there was a threat.
Yeah.
I mean, actually, I thought it was pretty hologrammy from the beginning, but I wasn't sure how they were going to do that. So,
well, and even just the fact that it disappeared and they said something about right at the beginning, before they even showed the monster, they said something about the cameras being, disabled or something.
Disabled,
and,
right, yep.
Yeah, so right then, I mean, I already thought that had something to do with it. So I don't know. I mean, it's hard for me to say if I thought anybody in the audience was fooled by that. I certainly wasn't. And I don't know that that was necessary. I mean, I don't think it really affected the storyline any if you were fooled by it or weren't, because it served a purpose. And I think the main purpose that it served was that theme of the monster inside, and Julian was the main one I think they were trying to focus on.
Yeah, yeah.
So we learned a little bit more about Julian, why he is the way he is. And I got to give some props to Tom Felton. I have not been the biggest fan of Tom Felton and everything he's done. I think he's really grown as an actor since he was 10, but,
yeah. Okay.
Which I would hope, you know, I really thought he accomplished a very satisfying explanation of why his character's such a jerk.
Yeah. Well, and it's not, the inclusion of the character saying, now I expect, you know, you want me to say that a metahuman killed my parents and that's why I'm this way. You know, that's a very common trope in these sort of shows. So the fact that he is pointing that out and then going with something else, I thought that was, I thought that was humorous, but also useful. It shows the character's ability to, you know, kind of understand what barrier the audience might be thinking about in that case, which that's what I thought was going to happen, you know.
And this is something that I don't know that I've ever vocalized or even seen or read anywhere that anybody has thought about this aspect of it. But, you know, as a writer of a show like this, where there was a major event at the beginning of the series that caused basically everything that's going to be happening throughout the series, however long it lasts, mm-hmm. in individual pockets throughout the seasons, sort of like Lost, right? Just the plane crash alone. And then from that, so many different things happen. But they have, the writers have to come up with ways that it affects people. And if you go with the same thing all the time, like Julian was saying, like, oh, you know, some metas killed my parents, and so I've got to do something about that. You know, and that's kind of what where Patty Spivot was coming from.
Yeah,
last season, you know, that's why some of the bad guys have become bad. I'm trying to think of her name, Magenta, right? It wasn't metas, but you know, so she had been done her wrong parents. In her life, and
yeah,
and so I like that the writers are finding new ways that all of these events affect people, because real life affects people in different ways.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's hard. I think sometimes for writers, because, you know, on a show like this, your plots are usually driven by your production crew, and then the writers come in and are, you know, maybe part of a writing room. And they kind of cycle off. You know, they don't bring in a lot of different writers. There's usually a smaller group, but again, the stories are kind of developed by an even smaller group. And it gets difficult sometimes, especially on a show that's going to last a while or has lasted a while, to come up with kind of different reasonings for things. Which is why it's always a good idea to, you know, make sure you bring in other directors and other writers and try to get as many creative people working on the show as possible so that you can have these different ideas. So it is cool that, you know, that they are trying to branch it out a little bit in that fashion.
Yeah. Well, good. So good job on Julian. As much as I didn't want to, I'm starting to like the character, which hopefully doesn't mean that he'll end up being Dr. Alchemy. That's one thing I'm hoping the writers are creative on, is giving us somebody that we don't expect.
I would be happy if it was someone we don't even know yet, you know?
I'd be fine with that.
It's because there's, you know, with shows like this, the fact that if everything seems so incestuous that everybody is related to somebody, you know, and I mean, that's just comic books, you know, characters come and go and then come back, and then when they come back with powers, and then they become a different superhero because they change their powers. And, you know, it's very limiting. And I think, you know, fans come to expect the shortcuts and stuff like this. And I'd like to see them actually,
yeah,
you know,
well, so that they can stretch. Do exactly what we were saying here, is that it can be somebody we don't know, but they're doing it. Their motivation is because they were affected by something that happened, and it could have been in Flashpoint, right? Because that might have been something that Barry caused, which actually everything bad that happens is because Barry caused it. But
everything.
Okay. He's the only one fast enough to stop it, so it's okay. All right, so that was the monster in Julian, and that was, to me, the main monster in this entire week's episode, even more so than the hologram monster.
Yeah,
agreed. But connected to that, and of course, which gave Julian the chance to see his monster and try to begin to atone for that, was the kid that created the hologram. What was his name again?
Oh, yeah, I looked it up in the credits. It was Kid.
Kid, okay. Kid, I guess, man, that is a lazy name for parents to give somebody. Come on.
They weren't sure if they're going to have a boy or a girl, so they just named it Kid.
It's easy. Then you don't mix your kids up. You know, you can just, hey, Kid. Come. So, oh, well,
he's named after his dad, who's also named Kid.
Is this Kid Junior?
Kid Junior.
This was kind of a cool way to address this issue. This is a big issue. I know you have kids, and
they are messing with holograms all the time. Is that what you? I'm sorry. That's what you were getting
the issue.
At?
Yeah, the issue of children tormenting us with holograms. No, but I have kids, and I'm a teacher as well, so I see kids a lot. And the issue of how bullying affects children is a very, very serious issue in our culture, especially in this century. It has shown that it can be deadly. The results. So yeah. I like that they're addressing it, and man, I tell you what, the Mr. Brady talk that Joe West gives this kid at the end was is it was kind of inspirational to me. And I got to be honest with you, man, the more I see Joe this season, the more I really think he was a really good dad.
I'm pretty sure I heard one to grow on theme when when he finished that. I think I saw a star shoot across the screen. But,
the more you know, that kind of
or
thing.
Or the more you know. Yeah.
but he, you know, I mean, because he said he understood what the kid was saying. You know, he understood this kid had been bullied and he feels powerless. That was a powerful line for me, that he feels powerless and he wanted other people to feel that way.
Well,
so Joe
and that,
gets it.
And that's kind of why Julian was bullying Barry as well. I agree that with what you said, that there is a lot, you know, bullying is a big problem, and unfortunately it is not just confined to school, you know, to kids and stuff like that. There's a lot of bullying, and you know, my wife tries to make sure that the kids understand about being respectful and stuff, and then I say something really silly and comedic to basically disrupt the entire point, but just to prove that you can have a good time and do it in a fun way, as long as the person doesn't feel threatened by it. I think there's room for that kind of stuff, but obviously in the situations that we saw here on the show, it's obviously a problem. And
well, what I liked about Joe's speech was two things. Number one, three. First, like I said, he understands this kid. But the second thing is that he, despite what has happened, and he understands that this kid has, you know, suffered some mental abuse, basically, he still has to be responsible for his actions. He still has to take ownership of what he did and face the consequences, whatever they may be.
I thought he was going to let him off for a second. I honestly did. And then he kind of walked him over to
And I'm so glad he did. That was what was really powerful to me. And the other thing I think just that speech kind of reiterates is something that we don't – as a teacher, I see this a lot. We don't really address this as much. We want to stop the bullying. But the fact is there's always going to be bullying of some kind. And what I think we should be helping people, not just kids, understand, like Joe was kind of trying to say, is that there's other ways to – handle it. Like, we don't want the bully to do what they're doing, but we also want the kids that are being bullied and the people that are being bullied to find ways to handle the situation. What should you do instead of that? So instead of retaliation, you know, do something else. So I don't know. It was a kind of a powerful scene in a series that will probably not be going down as memorable for the entire series, but it kind of hit home for me. So I appreciate that scene.
Well, that's good. Yeah, I thought, and again, I think it just really mirrors what Julian was going through. But to see it from this perspective, it made it so they didn't have to put some of those words in Julian's mouth.
Right, right.
Which I think might have, I don't know. I think it just reinforces it, I guess. With the fears that Julian had and the fears that this kid had.
Yeah, it does. So, and bullying's a hard thing, man. So you gotta find somebody to talk to about it, somebody to feel safe with. So
I do wish they could have given him a name.
Yeah, I know. That seems like bullying right there. Well, the other person that needed somebody to talk to was Caitlin.
Yeah.
And seems like she has quite a few people to talk to, but she didn't feel real comfortable with the team. So she,
which kind of surprises me, that she has to go and talk to her mom, who she doesn't really have any relation with, though I can see why she might want to try to rekindle that, but it seems like...
Tell me why. You say you can kind of see why she might want to. Why, at this point, what's making her do that? Is just desperation?
Well, she's... We were trying to talk about this the other week, like, why did we think Caitlin was afraid of this? And I keep having to remind myself that even though there's been this flashpoint and it seems like everything's changed, there's really only about 5% of the stuff that's changed. Pretty much everything we've seen happen, like all the episodes we've seen, really happened to these characters, but there's some additional and different stuff that's going on. Like Julian's in here now, and they've got this different room in the Star Labs and stuff like that. But the crew did go to Earth 2 last year. They met Harrison Wells and Harry Wells and Jesse, and they fought Zoom and all that. And they met Killer Frost, and Caitlin is probably very afraid that she's going to end up like this character that she met on Earth 2, this really cold, literally and figuratively speaking, person that, you know, talked about how she had these horrible relationships with her mom. So as Caitlin's getting these powers, she's probably remembering Killer Frost telling the story about how, you know, she's estranged from her mother and, you know, she's just bitter about everything. So that's probably raising her, our Caitlin's anxiety. So she feels like maybe she needs to try to connect that, because and if she and her mom have a relationship, then that's one less reason why she would become this this bad person, this Killer Frost.
Yeah.
So that's why I think I can see she would be thinking about going and trying to reconnect with her mom. But as she points out, as Caitlin points out in the episode, she's done all these tests. It wasn't really about going to get the tests. That was kind of the ruse. And of course, her mom seems to be colder than she ever would be, because, you know, her mom just kind of glosses over the fact that, you know, she's there. It's like, did I send you a birthday card? And it sounds like it was late because, you know, she said it was sent in April or whatever. And she mentioned that her husband had died, Caitlin did, and her mom didn't really seem to react to that. I'm like, did her mom even know that she was married? I mean, this is just...
I thought about that too.
Yeah. So...
And really, he died twice.
No. So,
poor Caitlin. So, I don't know. It's hard for me to say. Everybody kind of has a different relationship with their families, so you can't be too sure of how they would react or what they would really want. You know, so it's probably not fair to judge whether she would go back to her mom or not. But I like what you were saying, though, about her being scared, knowing what Killer Frost could become, you know, knowing what she could become.
Yeah.
That would kind of freak me out, too, I suppose. So I might just call my mom. Mommy. Help me. And she did have some knowledge. I mean, that's what her project was, I guess. Something that had to be
something with cryo something.
Yeah. So I could see that too.
Well, while we're talking about her mom and whatever organization it was that she was working for, I don't think we ever got the name of the company or whatever, but obviously she was kind of a big wig scientist in it. How about that lab assistant, man? He was a monster. I was like, boy, rapey vibes coming off this guy when he locks the door with Caitlin in there. And it's like, I mean, dude, what did you expect was going to happen? No, I'm going to keep you here, and I'm going to be all creepy and stuff, and then have her, you know,
yeah, she saw what she was. Arm. He saw what she was, put, you know, capable of.
Yeah.
I was a little surprised she didn't just freeze the door and, you know, bust her way out of there, but... He wasn't really letting her. I mean, he wasn't gonna just let her go that easily.
And the remote he used is the same little IR remote we use on our computers for presentations at work. And it's cool. It does look like a nice little remote that would lock a door, but
it doesn't really lock doors though at your work.
It's not. Nope. It just goes to the next slide.
I would say that would be a kind of a cool thing to have, but I don't know. I cannot think of a single time in my life that I ever needed to remotely lock my door. So I don't think I really need that one, but I agree with you. He was definitely a monster. It sounded like though he was a monster because her mom was the monster. I don't know what she was doing to this guy, man. He was desperate to get out of there.
I mean, quit. I don't know. I mean, it's that was really a weak part of the episode. It was like, oh, well, let's just write this kind of crazy scene so that we can give the audience a clue about the mom and how, you know, everybody else thinks she's nasty as well, and it's not just Caitlin. And it was like, it was out of nowhere, and it was like, you've got a lot of options. If you don't like working here, you know,
yeah, but
get
it sounded
on LinkedIn.
Like it sounded like he LinkedIn cryo expert in need of but it sounded like he had probably done a lot of the work and she was taking credit for it. And so, you know, to leave all that work behind after you'd done it, you know, I think he was probably hoping to salvage some of what he had done. It almost sounded like that's one of the reasons Caitlin didn't stick around is because she didn't want to be working under the shadow of her mom, you know, just having her not necessarily take credit for it, but it would be coming from her and she'd be associated with that. So.
Yeah, just imagine if your parent was very successful in whatever field, and you went into a you know a part of that field, you know, if your parents were a really successful teacher, and then you were a teacher as well, you know, aren't you always going to be compared to them? Especially if you're working in the same school or district or whatever, you know.
So. Yeah, for sure. So. Well, anyway, so Caitlin has had a lot of monsters to deal with. Her mother, the creepy Nigel, who, you know, is a little too touchy, and also the one that's growing inside of her. I mean, there's this monster growing inside of her.
What?
That
She's
is
pregnant?
Not, not that kind of monster is.
Oh, okay.
That's different. You know, she's getting these powers, but it's changing her. I mean, we saw a sense of aggression in Caitlin that we've never seen outside of the Earth 2, you know, Killer Frost. Mm-hmm. So obviously there's something going on with these powers.
Yeah, that whole piece at the end where it's like, this also just seems silly to me because I didn't feel any kind of motivation for it where it was like, Caitlin, honey, I've got a very important message for you. Don't use your powers ever again because they're just going to get stronger and, you know, it'll damage you. And all of a sudden she uses her powers. I'm like, that's like out of nowhere.
You're always telling me what to do, Mom.
Yeah.
It's my life, okay?
Marcia.
Yeah, but that's what I think. I really think that they are causing these aggressive tendencies, you know? So, let's talk about her powers a little bit. So she found out, according to her mother, I'm not sure, exactly how she determined this, but the more that she uses her powers, the less they would be able to stop them maybe, right? The more she lose control. I did notice that as she was talking to her mom at the end there when she was trying to get out of the room with Nigel, that was a dude's name, right? Nigel? I think I wrote it down somewhere.
I don't remember them saying his name. But, oh, yeah, I guess they did. Yeah. It was Nigel.
Okay. Well, anyway, as she was talking to her, it kind of calmed her down. You know, it was like her mother's, I guess you could call it love or affection at least, right? Her mother's show of affection there. Calmed her down a little bit. And so if her powers are indeed causing her to become aggressive and violent, then, you know, Danielle Panabaker's not going anywhere. Just call her Danielle Panabaker. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's not going anywhere, right? She's going to be on the show. And so they're not going to turn her into a villain. I mean, they're going to... I mean, permanent villain.
Yeah, I think – no, I – well,
I guess it's possible.
It would be very difficult to have a villain on as a regular cast member.
Yeah.
On a weekly show like this and not have it be the central storyline in some fashion. So
– right.
I think that – I think they're going in the direction of – we're making you think that she's going to turn into a villain, and she may end up just losing the powers at some point as well.
Yeah, that could be. So, well, but until then, to get these, because they're going to have to stop her when she gets violent. So, the most obvious person I could see her, see them using to calm her down and to stop her from getting out of control would be possibly Cisco. They're very good friends. Yeah. They're very close. Have worked together and gone through some really, really important events in their life together. So I could see him doing that. But, you know, any of the other team members I think could be involved in getting her calmed down. Maybe even this new Wells, just because she's had interesting relationships with certain Wells. But what about this?
Okay.
What if it was Ronnie?
But as you pointed out, Ronnie is dead.
Well, we don't really know that.
Well, she says her husband died.
That's what she thinks. What we saw him disappear, saving the city.
Oh, right. I thought you were going to say it was something with the Flashpoint, but even going back to the end of the first season.
We didn't actually see him die. We don't know what happened to him, actually.
Right, he got sucked into Earth 2, potentially.
Maybe, yeah, yeah. I know he's not connected with Dr. Stein anymore, but and we've been told that he's dead, but it could be Flashpoint, or it just could be something else.
Hmm.
If they brought Ronnie back, even temporarily, that might stop her violent tendencies. I don't know if they're going to do that, but it would be an interesting way to go, and I'm just kind of throwing that out there on the table.
I think that's a really interesting idea. I just popping into my head right now, knowing that they are going to be bringing Gorilla Grodd back, I'd love for her to still have her powers at that point, because I think the relationship that she had with Grodd was special, at that point. And so I think there would be a good opportunity for her to use her powers to defeat that character and whatever.
Ooh, that's a kind of cool idea. So. I hadn't even thought about Grodd. Huh. Yeah, that's cool. And that would be very valuable to have against Grodd and whatever army he's going to have.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm very curious to see about Caitlin. That's the only thing that really got me excited for upcoming episodes, is what's going on with Caitlin here. I found, the other monsters in this. Again, this might have been kind of a stretch. These are little monsters, So, and again, not the children, but
With Fred Savage.
Yeah, exactly. Fred Savage monsters is what they are. Sisko was kind of dealing with his little inner demon monster there, just not trusting Wells, not trusting HR.
They totally, I mean, okay, right. They've had problems with Harrison Wells since the beginning. So why would they be reaching out for another Wells? Harry was at least manageable.
Yeah, but now you got to remember, the first Harrison Wells that they dealt with really wasn't Harrison Wells.
True.
So we really haven't had an evil Harrison Wells, just questionable.
Right, because the first Harrison Wells wasn't Harrison Wells. It really was a bad guy. And the second Harrison Wells, though he did problematic, wasn't evil.
Yeah. But he said he was sorry about killing those people, in cold blood for his own purposes. Yeah. So that's his little demon he's dealing with. And, I don't know. I'll be honest with you. Barry's telling Sisko that he can't be going through his stuff. Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
Maybe you shouldn't, but I'm sorry. After what they've been through, I'm okay with that.
You're our guest here, so, you don't have any say about this. And I don't know. I just found it. What? Go ahead.
That's probably the first thing I would have done when he got there. Hey, how you doing? Welcome. I'm going to need your bag.
Yeah, we need to inspect this.
Yeah, give me your hat just for good measure, because I don't know. I haven't seen anybody wear a pork pie for a while, and we probably need to check that out.
Just the fact that he leaves, his own Earth, I don't know. I understand it in the context of, I'm a writer, and I'm trying to come up with a story. So, it's to him, he's traveling, if he would be traveling to Africa to write a story or something like that, I guess. But I don't know, just the whole premise is a little wackadoodle.
Do you buy a story?
So I was like, he's really screwy, and boy, they're really putting it right in our face, when he for that first commercial break where he's like,
Nobody's
Triple A too. They still haven't guessed what my real mission is, or whatever. I'm like, oh, come on. And I was worried that they were going to spend episodes isn't he? So I feel like they settled it. It's like, nope, he's a complete fraud as a scientist, and he's going to be here for comic relief and as this observer who probably does have good ideas, and they're going to find that he has an entirely different perspective than the other Wells characters they've dealt with. and they're going to find their own bond with him and make peace with it. And he's going to discover stuff about himself and about them and all that. But yeah, I think it's settled. I don't think they're going to keep going on with this because it just,
I'm with you.
It's ridiculous if they do.
You think he's going to be around? I mean, is this the Wells that we've got this season?
I think this is the Wells we've got this season.
You don't think they're going to get rid of him and have? See, I'm thinking Earth 2 Wells is going to come back.
I'm sure they'll bring Earth 2 Wells back and forth and stuff like this. I still would really love for them to figure out the way. And you know, who knows if Flashpoint's going to reverse itself? Like they've said, it won't reverse itself, right? But
right.
They've said a lot of stuff.
That's
the
true.
Creators, you know, of That's the show. Find a way to bring the real Earth One Wells, because he is still. No, I guess he still would be kind of dead based on the Flashpoint thing. Since no, because Thawne, I don't know anymore.
Yeah, you're gonna hurt yourself. Don't try to figure it out. the last monster I want to bring up is the one that is just sitting, hiding behind a table inside of Joe. Just ask her out already. Oh, my God. I'm going to go ask her out for him. I am going to just go, you know what? I'm just going to arrange it. I'm just going to have a meet somewhere and go, okay, you guys are on a date. I'll see you later.
It's like, call up the DA. It's like, Detective Wells needs to meet you to discuss part of the case, and then call him up. And it's like, the DA needs to meet you to discuss this case. And then they'll both get there and they'll realize, wait a second. I thought you called me. No, I thought you called me. Let's get a coffee.
And they'll both have a good laugh and they'll point at each other. And then the scene will freeze like in an old Quinn Martin show. oh my gosh, Joe, come on, man. Your kids want you to go get some action, for crying out loud. Just go. So hopefully we see more of her. I need for Joe to have a little bit of satisfaction in his life and not be so scared. But
so well, he thinks he is. I mean, he thinks he's I don't know. I can't tell if it's really that he's scared or if it's just that he really doesn't want that extra distraction. But do you think that it's like Iris said, is it really required that he be involved in a relationship?
No, it's not required, but they both like each other and they both, she's very interested in it. And I think he would do it. I don't think
that's how that works,
it.
Right? As long as you're both interested, it's okay.
Yeah, I think so. But I mean, I really think he does. I think he's just a little bit spooked. I think he feels like maybe his time is past.
I totally feel that he's coming up with excuses. You know, I mean, he's a number one with excuses on the list. You know, it's like, well, I've got my work and I've got you and Barry and Wally. I'm good. It's like, what?
Maybe. Maybe he's waiting for Captain. Maybe he's waiting for Captain Singh. I don't know.
Captain Singh is happily married.
Oh, that's true. He is married, isn't he? Dang it! All right, not to Pied Piper though.
No, not to Pied Piper. To somebody else. So.
Yeah. All right. Fine. Well. Anyway, Joe, I'm hoping you need to get out there a little bit. I think it's time, man. It's time. Swipe right or left or I don't know. However that works. I never had to do that. So, well, overall, this week's episode was, it was important. I mean, I liked the character development, but I am ready for some real action. I need to see a larger threat that builds throughout the season and as a thread that connects these. So we haven't really seen that in this season so far. A little bit with Killer Frost is kind of here. There is touching on that, and we got like at the beginning. I really thought that there was something going to happen with Flashpoint and Thawne. I mean, Thawne. I thought he was going. You'll see. You know what happened. I thought there was something going on there. Then they teased us with the rival. You know, and well, that didn't last very much. And then we have Dr. Alchemy, but he's not even on every week, and there hasn't been much going on. So I have a question for you.
Sure.
Last season, we had some issues with both Arrow and a little bit Flash, where a bunch of episodes were really kind of bogged down as they were preparing for the Legends of Tomorrow launch.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Are we getting the same thing because of this big four series crossover?
Possibly, though. What I felt the problem was last year with the two shows was that they were spending time on characters that they were going to then, you know, toss over to this new show.
Right.
And so we're not having that happen right now, but could we, you know, are these filler episodes like you had pointed out? Are we just kind of marking time until we clear that episode? Because they can't really be doing anything to build up with Alchemy to then have him show up in the crossover, because that's not going to happen. The crossover is going to be its own like storyline. Right. So I don't know, if you want to make, you know, if you're going to have a season long villain, my opinion is you need to include that villain in every episode to remind the audience that this is a threat and have something move it along. I reference Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. from last season with Ward, a.k.a. Hive. Even if it was only one scene in the episode to show us how that character was progressing and what they were up to, we got something.
Yeah.
Just to keep the threat alive.
One scene of him eating ribs is all it took.
Yeah. Real human ribs.
but the thing that's what kind of worries me. I mean, because I understand that reasoning. You know, I mean, like if you're dealing with a big wormhole or Zoom has your friends captured over a period of several weeks, you're not going to stop doing that and, you know, for 1 week go, oh, you know what? I know I need to rescue these people, but hey, you know what? There's this other threat coming from this other show on the same network, and I got to go help him for a little bit.
Yeah.
But I'll be back in a couple weeks. Don't you hang in there. That's, you know, so I get that. That's why I'm wondering if they're kind of waiting on this Dr. Alchemy or whatever it is building up to. I would like to see Dr. Alchemy building some kind of a meta army against him, you know, or at least find out a little bit more about what his motivation is to do this. You know, what's his main goal? Either way, those are little criticisms that I can make because I love this show so much. I really have a good time watching it every week. And when I get one that kind of slows down, I go, what could have made that better? But it's certainly not a criticism saying that I didn't like the episode at all. I thought there was a lot of fun stuff in it, and it was just I'm just wondering what's happening. You know, five episodes in now, so let's start to. Start picking up the pace for the end of the marathon before the winter break.
Yep. Just hope they're not getting into kind of a third season slump.
Yeah. Right. Yep. I hope not too, because they're too good for that. They're too good for that.
Yep.
So hey, we had one little piece of feedback I just wanted to share with you that I just noticed here, and just because I thought it was actually kind of funny. So this is from Kenneth over on Facebook. He thinks it'd be great if Dr. Alchemy turned out to be the Time Trapper, who is actually Superboy from Smallville turned evil.
Time Trapper, nice.
I don't remember Time Trapper. Do you remember?
He was from the he was, I believe it was the 0 Hour crossover they did back in the early 90s.
I remember that 0 Hour.
Yeah, he messed a whole bunch of stuff up. Yeah, and it dealt with the Legion of Superheroes or the Legionnaires or something like that, I believe, as well.
Okay. All right. Well there you go. So Kenneth thinks it would be pretty fun. I would be interested in seeing stuff like that. Maybe not, you know, Superboy. I don't, that would be kind of weird.
Now, when he says Superboy, does he mean like Superboy from like the TV show Smallville, or Superboy like in the comics?
He did not specify. It sounded like I took it as the TV show Smallville, but
that would be kind of cool if Alchemy turned out to be the Tom Welling.
Oh, there you go.
That'd be pretty wild. So
cool. Well, all right. Well, thank you, Kenneth, very much for pointing that out. There were few references this week. Not very many comic references. They were more pop culture references this week.
Yeah,
which are always still funny.
Seems like we're going to be getting some of these weird pop culture references where things on Earth 19 are not exactly the same as they are on our Earth.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you know that the entire coffee crop was wiped out by blight?
I heard that. Yeah. I did not realize that was
a... Can you imagine?
I hear millennials are working to do that right now, that we may not have coffee because the millennials are going to be drinking it all. But
dang it. Well,
I just heard that on social media, so I don't
now,
know if it's true.
Now that they won't drink out of the Starbucks cups, I guess maybe it'll slow that down a little bit. So Wells talks about an Alfred Hitchcock movie, Murder on the Titanic.
Classic.
Oh, yeah. Who killed him? Who cares? We're all going to die.
the boat's sinking.
This is not actually a movie on our Earth anyway.
Correct. It was brought up when Sisko mentioned that it's like, oh, it's like that Hitchcock film where the extra covered his ears before the gun went off. Well, there actually is that movie. That movie does exist. It's called North by Northwest. There's a very famous scene at the end where the lead female character is about to shoot the lead male character in a crowded little restaurant, and right, she pulls a gun out, and you see this little boy in the background put his fingers in his ears. I mean, it's like it's one of those things. Like once you see it, you'll always see this kid doing it. And then
thanks for ruining that scene for us.
Yeah, and you're like, because you're not sure that she's really going to shoot him, but then as soon as the kid puts his fingers in his ears, it's like, well, it's foregone conclusion. So that's pretty funny. So North by Northwest, you can find the clip on if you just Google North by Northwest, covering ears or something like that. The clip will pop right up. Oh. So,
well, I had to go and look it up because Hitchcock's made a lot of movies. I have a collection of some of his more obscure movies that people may not have even heard of. Some of his early stuff,
like Juno and the Paycock.
Yeah, I don't know.
I took a course in Hitchcock. No, that's a real film. Yeah,
I may have. It's been a long time since I looked through I may actually have that one. But okay, so all right, you got to take this next one.
Oh, Empire of the Sun.
Yes.
I mean, Empire Strikes Back. I mean, Empire of the Sun. They were going to use the carbon fiber rope to bring down the monster, just like an Empire of the Sun. Yes. No, Empire Strikes Back, which is funny because it's our second most blatant Star Wars reference on our podcast this week. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. had that was probably even more blatant than that.
And it was. Yeah. And this one wasn't even from a Disney franchise or a Disney company.
Right, right.
And they still
Well, but,
did
you
it.
Know, I mean, we know Sisko is a huge pop culture fan, so of course they'd be referencing Empire Strikes Back. And what I found also interesting is, of course, that's how they decided to bring down Giant Man in Captain America Civil War. You know, so both Marvel and DC franchises are big fans of Star Wars films.
It's legendary. It's legendary. So now and you said Empire of the Sun too, of course, which was what Wells thought he was talking about. I wonder if they have Empire Strikes Back on Earth 19. I don't know. This other one, I could not think of it. Wells mentioned some stuff happening with superheroes on his Earth, World War, and I had a hard time finding it. But do you know what that was referencing?
So this is just Wells made up, right? This is not really anything. But there's World War Z, the movie with Brad Pitt about the zombie invasion.
Right.
So there was this, they're talking about how all the Flash organized this group to fight the villains in a stadium, and they called it World War M, I'm assuming for metahumans. It was just something that he made up, but this is not really a thing.
So it's not referencing something from the comics, huh?
Not that I could tell. There has been a World War III comic. There was also World War Hulk over in the Marvel Universe, but nothing that I found called World War M.
I wondered. The only thing I thought maybe was it was kind of a slight nod to the Flashpoint comic book where the superheroes were fighting against each other, Wonder Woman on one side and Aquaman on the other side. And
think that a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, so I thought it might be. But other than that, that was about all the references this week. So I'm going to watch for them next week. I'm hoping there's a little bit longer list.
Yeah.
All right, well, you know what? I'll give this episode a thumbs up still. It's just not as enthusiastic of thumbs up. But I did still have fun talking to you about it this week. So, but I think that's about all this week. And so you and I have to run.
Well, I'll give it a hologrammatic thumbs up.
Okay. How about that? All right.
So it's a thumbs up, but it's not a real thumbs up. So it's close. Well, anyway, yeah, thanks, Josh. Until next communion, as they say. If you guys enjoyed the episode, though, please be sure to leave some feedback for us on iTunes. That would be awesome. We like seeing what people have to say out there, and it's a great way for us to solicit new listeners. You can also contact us via email at scarletvelocity@randomchatter.com or on Twitter at scarletvelocity or like Kenneth did on our Facebook page at facebook.com/scarletvelocitypodcast.
And make sure you check out our other shows that we do too, Green Justice, an Arrow podcast, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. You can find those at randomchatter.com. And of course, all of our shows are on iTunes and through Stitcher for Android or iOS. And of course, if you enjoy this podcast, please, please be sure to tell your friends about us. And remember, life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it. This podcast is not endorsed by Warner Brothers Television or DC Entertainment. The official website for The Flash can be found at www.cwtv.com. The Flash and related elements are copyright DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers Television.